Classic Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault from the Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop, your hosts. For today, we revisit the original from 2010, Top 5 Badass Bitches, a Film Vault defining topic. It was an early topic, kind of branded it our own.
What year is it?
2010, July of 2010.
Yeah, so from Patreon, just recently, we updated our list. Because it's a solid list.
If you saw another episode come across your feed with this title, it's the updated Patreon-only Badass Bitches. But this is the original.
The one that started it all, Brian. And I remember even back then, there were certain people that were a little bit concerned about the title of the episode. Thought that it might be a bit of a pejorative.
You came up with the idea.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't you.
No, it was not me. No.
So I'm wondering, so we're on the orange couch back in these days. Logan, were we firing you yet? We must have fired you.
Yeah, that was pretty early on. I would assume that we were there by now. Although it was only like, at this point, four months in. Yeah, because we started in April.
Should also say, you know, a lot has happened.
Was Little Ears there back then?
She was still there.
I mean, was she
around for very long?
Probably.
Little Ears was there most of the time. We were firing Logan pretty often and pretty quick soon after we started.
We were only there for like 10 months, right? Trigger finger.
The orange couch days, I think 10 months worth, perhaps. I don't think it was a full year.
I'd have to look.
But, you know, the political landscape is in constant flux and flow, Brad. And neither one of us had a chance to hear this here episode. Indeed. I have not heard it since it came out of my mouth about 8 years ago. So
I'm as excited to hear as everyone else.
Please forgive any of the ignorant things that might come out of both of our mouths, mainly mine. I you come to expect it from Brian.
I'm looking at my list, and I'm a basic bitch. I have some very obvious choices.
You've gotten better in the recent years.
I definitely have.
It was really difficult doing the show with you back then. That's why people don't understand why I'm so easy on you these days. It's like, because he's gotten a lot better.
He's a lot better. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
A little bribery.
I'm looking at the movie Flick Fest, but we had already started doing Flick Fessions. That much is for sure. Now I'm looking to see if...
Oh, speaking of Flick Fessions, can I Flick Fest a movie?
Well,
right now?
You can,
so we can fill out this episode?
The movie Flick Fest, I'm wondering, because I had a bad habit back in the day. When you first proposed Flick Fessions, I thought it was just like a diary of what we were watching. So I would constantly suggest things where I was like, yeah, I saw Titanic again over the weekend.
Well, okay, here's what it was. Like, I watch movies. I mean, I watch a lot of movies. I love movies. I think that's been established here. And I the idea was, hey, the last three movies you saw, or like the three best movies you saw in the last week. And it was easy for me because I was watching a shit ton anyways, right?
But I took that to mean like literally the three movies you watched.
You didn't put in any extra effort. You just continued on your road of casually watching things in the background and came in and tried to Flick Fest those. You're like, yeah, I was making a sandwich the other day, turned on HBO and the second half of Terminator 2 was on.
I did do that. That said, the movie I Flick Fest was a recent, within the last 2 years movie back then. So I'm wondering if it was the first time I'd seen it.
Okay, that's not exciting for me. I can imagine.
Do you want to Flick Fest a film?
Yeah. So I saw a film.
For this episode?
Yes. I saw a movie. That just so there's a little something updated.
Something new.
Yeah. Called The Writer. Now, every now and again, you heard of this writer?
No.
The Writer? You heard of The Writer?
I don't think so.
Every now and again, listeners will hit me up. Multiple listeners will hit me up around the same time about a certain film. That was the case with The Writer for sure. A lot of people were like, you got to watch The Writer. The Writer is my favorite movie of the year. Yep. Check out The Writer.
Western.
It is a Western film. Let me see. Honestly, full disclosure, I didn't know that we were doing this episode right now. I thought we were doing the actual episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. I flipped it on you.
I wasn't prepared.
We should thank everyone for continuing to tune in and support the show. I am out of town this whole week, so thus you are getting the classic episode. But we will not mail it in. We will, in fact, present it to you with some updated material.
And I had a great time in Seattle and Portland, I'm assuming, and it was great meeting all of you. And Mom, stop texting me. I'm trying to look on my phone, and she's making it very difficult for me to see my...
97% on Rotten Tomatoes for The Writer.
A woman named Chloe Zhao
I'm studying The Writer.
Chloe Zhao wrote and directed The Writer, okay? Mm-hmm. And it stars people you've never heard of. Brady Jandrew as Brady Blackburn. And Tim Jandrew as Wayne Blackburn. That's his brother.
Brady, Lily, and Tim Jandrew.
And Lily Jandrew as Lily Blackburn, also his sister. She's so here's the long and the short of it. Young
Brady and Lily both have the same names in the cast, apparently, as does many other people.
They're all related. Oh,
maybe this was written for them.
It opens up with Brady, and he's got a bunch of stitches in his head. Looks like he took like a hoof, maybe a hoof, the hoof.
Hoof. Foot.
What do you call it? Foot. Hoof. Hoof to a head. He's a rider. He's a rodeo rider. That's what he does. I'd say he's probably like early 20s, right?
Okay.
Real, real down to earth, salt of the earth, cowboy type, you know, guy. Everything's ma'am and sir, and you know, just speak. Right. Walks quietly.
Proper,
and you know, nothing obnoxious about him. Like, you know, like he wouldn't fit out here. He'd do a lot of judging. Right. Like, you know, he kind of like walk down the street of L.A. and just kind of shake his head. Like, these folk just don't know.
Gone to hell. Got a pot.
These folk just don't know. This movie is an honest look at a modern day young cowboy. He's got a mentally challenged 15-year-old sister. She starts out 14. She has a birthday within the movie, and she's mentally challenged.
According to this, she has autism.
She talks like a Sesame Street Muppet. Now, I realized when I was writing that note that it might
waka waka.
It might come off as insensitive, but
it could.
When you see the movie, there's no denying that she sounds like she would fit right in on Sesame Street as a voice character. Okay, so I'm just trying to paint a picture here. I'm not making fun by any means.
Sounds like you are.
A good friend of his who got real fucked up from riding rodeo, who's spinal injury, so he goes to visit him in the hospital. Oh. This guy, his name's Cat. He plays himself.
Yes, there is a cat who plays a character named Cat.
Yes, yes, and he plays himself. He is an actual rodeo rider, and I was certain that this guy, Cat, who's Brady's good friend in the movie, who's hospitalized, he's in the hospital, he's recovering from a traumatic injury involving the spine, you'd have to imagine, from riding a bull.
I'd imagine he got tossed, he got thrown.
And this guy, like, if I'm telling you right now, like, if this was a big name actor, he'd have Oscar all over.
Really?
I thought for sure that this was not only a real life rodeo cowboy, but a guy who actually had the accident. His friend, I'm talking about. Turns out that Brady, the actual lead character, the story is based on a true life event that happened to him where he did get actually hit in the head and could no longer ride.
Okay.
And it's one of those stories where if you ride again, you could die. You can't be riding.
So ride or die.
Ride and die.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a solid father who might like his drink and the casino a bit too much. And his horse, Gus. He's got a horse, Gus, this Brady guy. Gus just got sold. So things aren't looking too good for Brady. Am I saying his name? It's Brady, right?
Brady Gendro, yes. Looks like.
So things aren't looking... Oh, God. How did that happen? My camera just came on my phone. So...
Come on, Mom.
It's like a country song played out on the big screen, Brian.
Okay. That could be good or bad.
I mean, I just told you the story. You could hear all those lyrics in a song almost,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like you just sung it to me.
There's a scene where he breaks a horse. Now, this guy he's the real deal. In fact, when researching her first movie, she actually met and interviewed the real life Brady, who stars in this film. He was helping her like train horses and ride horses and stuff for her first film.
Is he shown riding horses in the film?
Oh,
is he competent?
Oh yes. And she was so enthralled with him. And then after she had met him, he did get a severe injury from riding. And she said, "I'm gonna make my next movie all about your story."
I was gonna say, now, this is not fascinating.
It's not the actual. Don't get confused with Cat, because Cat is Brady's friend of this movie. He's the one who really has the fucked up injury, but it turns out he was just acting. And I thought for sure that he actually had that injury, because he plays it so well, Brian. My God.
So a lot of these actors, I'm looking them up on IMDb, a lot of the people in the film, their only credit is the writer.
That's why I'm saying they're not actors.
Cat Clifford, your buddy, his only other credit is a movie directed by
same woman.
Chloe.
Yes.
What's her name?
Yes. Yeah. That was the first movie that she made.
Songs my brothers taught me.
So there's a scene where Brady is breaking a horse, like a wild horse, and it's mesmerizing. It's just going to take my eyes off it. Mesmerizing. It's a very, like I said, very earnest and honest look at the life of a cowboy who can no longer do what he feels he was born to do, which is ride. It's the wrestler for cowboys and riders, Brian.
Where does one see
very
this?
Very similar to the wrestler.
Where does one
for
see
for cowboys
this?
And riders. I got chills a number of times during this movie.
Really?
Chills.
Really?
Especially the end.
It's
a bit crushing. Real chills. Oh. However, all that being said, this is not a movie made for me. This is not the type of movie I get excited about and, you know, go on and on about and can't stop thinking about. However, I have been thinking quite a bit about
this one.
Sounds
like you liked it.
There's just not enough fun in there for me. The characters are colorful, but they're not. It's not a fun story. It's very mopey, very dreary, harrowing at times, and kind of arduous. And just like, it's just one horrible fucked up thing after another happens to this guy. This is one scene where
bleak.
he wants to, he's given like some of his, cause he can't ride anymore. Like his doctor says, if you ride, you'll die. He's giving some of his, I don't want to give too much away, but there's another kid who's younger than him. He's still in the game and he's giving him tips. And I think he gives him a saddle or something. And then just out of the blue, Brady's like, hey, you still wrestle? They're in the house, right? And the room's lit by nothing but the TV screen, which is rodeo on it. Go figure. And the kid says, yeah, I still wrestle. And he's like, let's wrestle. And he's like, yeah, I don't think you should be wrestling because your head is like, let's wrestle. And poor Brady is so, and he's a really nice guy, but he's so hungry to, like, you know, defeat something or pin something. Yeah. It's a mindset I can't wrap my mind around. Yeah. Dominate
physically
something.
Dominate
then something. He goes way too far in the wrestling match. And not way too far, but, you know, gets a little bit ugly. And you're holding your breath throughout this movie quite a bit. Now, like I said, a bit too much arduous of a watch for me for, you know, it's got to be like.
Oh, that's in theaters.
Is it in theaters right now?
I think
you can get it on VOD.
Oh, maybe. I looked on Just Watch and they prompted me for movie tickets. Although, no, you can. Yes, you can rent this.
Now, I would definitely recommend you watch it and want you to watch it. However, I don't think you should watch it because it's not your kind of movie. You'll just be distracted by the stiff acting throughout. You can't look past things.
I can get, you know what, like a movie jumps to mind like Cube, where the acting was pretty stiff, and I like that movie very much. So,
okay.
You know, as long as it's like Cube.
I think this is the one, this is the type of movie you're going to see it like on a lot of critics' top 10 list at the end of the year, maybe like Spirit Awards. It's not going to be like Oscar or anything like that. However, if Cat was a recognizable face and he had that kind of performance.
If it was Sam Rockwell.
I said the same thing about Macon Blair with Blue Ruin a few years ago. Like if Macon Blair had a name, like he would have been nominated for an award that year. He was phenomenal in Blue Ruin. But yeah, so The Rider, a lot of people will really, really enjoy this movie. And a lot of our listeners already have, because I've gotten at least 10 emails. And my buddy Garth was the one who was, Garth Donovan, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He's the one who demanded that I watch it and sent me a link. So I watched it.
There you go. Yes, you can rent this film.
This will not be on my top 10.
No. Even for the summer?
When did
it come out?
When did it come out? I think the official release date was like March or something, but that might have been a festival.
Gotcha.
So The Rider, yeah.
All right.
And if you like The Wrestler, a lot of similarities with The Wrestler in there, except he even works at a supermarket, right? Huh. Brady's working at a supermarket.
Does he cut his hand intentionally to quit?
Does not do that.
Because that would be a weird.
You make it sound like that was the reason, like he had to do something so that he could quit. No, he was in a fit of rage.
I didn't mean to make it sound like this will get me out. It was all kind of culminating.
Every time we're talking about The Wrestler now, every time that I go to the deli department in my supermarket, because I get Atticus, there's this type of chicken. He only likes one type of chicken, the Ichiban chicken. So good. Boar's head. And so I got to sit there and wait. And
high-class taste.
Every time I look, it doesn't have nitrates and stuff on it. So, like, you know, he eats very little. Yeah. So every time I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I look at one of those machines, I try not to look, but then my eyes dart about and then I'll land on one of those machines. And I don't know if you have this, but I know some people do get this. Like, you get the chills in your tailbone.
Yeah. It all kind of hits you down there.
Yeah, I just think, that scene
Randy the Ram
with his thumb. Okay, so anyways, badass bitches now. I just wanted to throw in one flick fashion.
Yes, on The Rider. On to the classic episode.
Maybe The Rider does, you know what? It's one of those movies while you're watching, it's just like, it's just slow burn and it's dragging. But then you're like just punched in the gut.
Well,
and you get the chills and then it's like, but these type of movies, like they age well in my brain anyways with time. So perhaps, you know, a few weeks from now, I like it even more. Like Blindspotting. I'm liking Blindspotting a little bit more every day.
It's a pretty good movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, your top five at the end of the year ends up being closer to a top 25.
So it's always 10. It's always top 10. I always do top 10. Yeah. And people really feel like you should do top 10 too. The show is big enough that you could do a top 10.
I'm purist.
Stupid.
Purist.
No, pure of what?
I'm pure of heart.
You're pure of your idea to do a top 5.
My integrity, my film integrity. Thanks, guys, for downloading. Here now, top 5 badass bitches, the original.
At the dawn, I woke. It's a film pop. I'm Brian, that's Sneezy. Anderson over there.
How's the
car? Anderson over there. Brian Bishop over here. We're your hosts.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Welcome to the Film Vault. We only talk films. We talk about nothing else. Today on the Film Vault. Well, initially, years ago, we struggled, Anders. We struggled with what to come up with the name for this top five. Top five strongest female characters, top five girls that kick your butt. But back in the day, when we first came up with this idea.
Is that what we're doing, badass bitches?
Yeah.
I thought, all right, here's the deal.
What?
Oh, am I embarrassed? This is awful.
What happened?
This is very last minute. We had nothing as of 2 days ago, and we're going back and forth through emails. I never have been the biggest reader.
Okay.
A little dyslexic.
Okay.
I thought we said big ass bitches.
Oh. Well, I think our list can overlap a little bit. I mean, no pun intended.
I have nothing but J-Lo.
Oh, my God.
Kardashian. Precious. There's an Oprah film in there. Precious was number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to abandon that list.
Oh, my God.
Am I cutting out badly, or is that just my imagination?
No, you're good. A little, you cutting out every once in a while is not a bad thing.
Ryan, I hate you.
No.
Yeah.
The cord your headphones are plugged into is a little faulty.
Oh, I see.
I've noticed this myself during the show.
So happy 4th. Happy belated 4th.
Yeah.
Happy 6th as it is. We record this show well in advance of when it actually airs, right?
That's right. Well, well in advance. A couple days.
That's well in advance in the internet world.
That's true.
And speaking of which, last week I was talking about Mel Gibson, right? Road Warriors was my favorite sequel of all time.
Yeah,
and I was talking about Mel Gibson and making jokes about him hating Jews and whatnot.
Turns out,
he comes up in the news the next day. Yeah, I'm not convinced that he said pack of enters. I hope a pack of enters rapes you. I'm not convinced he said that.
Right,
I haven't heard the tape yet.
Sure.
However, it's funny that we were talking about him and then he came up a couple days later. So I wasn't talking about him because he was in the news, but a Jewish barbecue. I was at a barbecue yesterday.
Right. A Jewish barbecue?
Is a bar mitzvah, right?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, sort of. I guess a cookout.
Yeah. And then brisk.
But it's
a different kind of bris. Oh, it's a bris.
There's bris and there's brisket. Very different things.
If I was Jewish, I'd be the worst Jew, but I'm not Jewish.
Yeah,
so.
Very different things.
So let's do this. I was kidding. It's not big ass bitches. It's badass bitches.
Yeah, badass bitches. Girls that can kick your ass.
But Brian, you had an issue. You took umbrage with us calling it badass bitches.
I did initially. I was like, well, is that disrespectful? Is that just like, kind of chauvinistic? Well, it's just kind of like.
Really?
Brings attention to yourself where it doesn't belong. But I believe that any of these characters, if you were to say to them, you're a badass bitch, they would appreciate it and say, yes, I am a badass bitch.
I think most women would.
Yeah.
Most women, especially
but
women
the characters
in that
themselves,
realm.
If you were in the movie with them, if you found yourself in an alternate universe where you're in the film, you're like, hey, you're a badass bitch.
Also,
like,
this was before you were married.
Right.
So you were still like trying to look like the good guy that you were pretending to
now
be.
Now I don't care.
Now you don't care. Now, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my freak
You got the big
fly.
Gut. You got the beard going.
Yeah, seriously.
You should see Brian right now.
Oh, my God. I'm pouring out of my
clothes. Are those whiskey stains on your wife, Peter?
First of all, whiskey doesn't stain.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I suck it out of my shirt immediately when I spill it.
It stains. We had a kid call up Loveline last night, and he says, I pour whiskey in my girlfriend's pussy. Is that a problem?
Was it a problem?
No. Kills bacteria, actually.
Hey, by the way, I should have researched this, but I didn't. But I also rely on Logan a lot because Logan loves movies more than both of us combined. Logan He's seen like five movies in the last 2 days. Logan saw Blazing Saddles in the theater like the other day.
Hey.
That's pretty badass, man.
Yesterday I did.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Congratulations on watching that overrated piece of shit in the theaters.
No. Fantastic. Blazing Saddles isn't overrated.
Overrated.
No.
Yeah.
Point is, I should have researched this, but I didn't. But I knew Logan would have my back. Logan, you don't know anything about this, but... I heard that they're like, remember in Back to the Future when Doc programs the car to like 25 years in the future from 1985? Well, the actual day was like the other day. It was like Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that actual day was
Saturday. There were a bunch of nerds somewhere convening saying, this is it. Where's Doc?
I saw it on the Facebook. On the Facebook.
Was anyone having a little conference anywhere? No?
Logan,
a little summit?
Logan tweeted it.
Logan tweeted it,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It was pretty badass, though. And it made me think that people would like us to do... We get requests occasionally, one or two a week. People like to do top five time travel movies.
I've been seeing that for a long time.
But I don't have really strong opinions on time travel films.
Why not?
I don't know. None pop to mind as like, that's the greatest time travel movie I've ever seen.
Well, do a little research and you'll figure it out.
I have opinions.
It's there, Brian. It's there. What would I do if I went back in time, Brian?
You'd probably nix this conversation entirely and move right to Reflections, our favorite segment.
I would do that, but after molesting myself.
Oh,
I was a little pop quiz for you, and you failed.
I failed.
Remember? I would go back and touch myself.
Oh, yeah. Like if you actually went back like a long time ago. I thought you meant like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you're a dick. Oh, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was a nubile 7-year-old.
A kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years.
Reflections. AKA Flick Fashions.
Yeah.
Our best segment. Our only segment.
I got quite a little list here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I have a list of one.
A list of one.
It's a holiday weekend. It was a short week.
Who watches movies on holidays? Not me. Not
me.
Brian, apparently.
I went to barbecues. I lived a life, Anderson.
All right.
No, I saw one movie.
Let me hear it.
I saw Taken with Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
See that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly what you'd expect it to be.
It delivers on exactly what it promises. This is a revenge flick. There's going to be 30 minutes of silly plot followed by 60 solid minutes of ass kicking. And if that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. And it delivers.
Yeah. I totally agree. It is it's exactly as advertised. Doesn't try and go out of the bounds. And it doesn't fail to deliver.
It was pretty silly. And I didn't like the fact that Liam Neeson's character was never really any kind of danger. At no point was his life ever threatened. He was tied up at one point, but he got out of it within 10 seconds.
Wasn't he driving his car fast at one point?
Yeah. But he was in control, is what I'm saying. Anyway, okay. Decent movie. Deliver on what it promised. If you like revenge flicks, we should top five revenge flicks.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Irreversible. Anyway. Once again, would be number one. Irreversible could be number one so many times, Brian.
Maybe we should do a reverse top five list. It'd be like movies that appear on most top five lists. You know what I mean? Like Irreversible, top five revenge flicks, top five foreign flicks, top five disturbing flicks.
That'd be an all-time top five. Yeah. Maybe
top five Hall of Fame.
How do we come up with, that would be definitely a good one.
Top five Hall of Fame.
But we have to do that 5 years
ago. Logan, write that down.
How do we come up with this list? Because I remember Brian saying, we need a topic. Here's how it works. Like, we leave here, like today, Brian will say, all right, what are we doing next week and what time? And then I used to fall for that and say, okay, we'll do like buddy films and we'll meet at 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
Right.
3 days later, time has changed and I don't like that topic. It's like, thanks, Brian. I've already done the research. I've already watched films. Thank you.
So I've learned my lesson. Now we don't even bother coming up with one here.
Two days ago, we came up with this and you're like, well, I need some films, topics. So I gave you what, about 35 topics to choose?
You
did. From?
You sent me like 5 text messages.
Yeah, they were coming fast and furious.
A couple of those were good.
Yeah, a couple of things.
A couple were good.
So, flick flashing.
You mocked me. You said, films are letter A.
Why not? Eventually, we're going to have to go down that road, Ryan.
No,
we're
not. We have so many good top fives coming up.
Eventually, it's going to be all about the A's.
I have a list.
If it was a film started with letter T, Taxidermia would not be one of those films. However, I think that our audience is big enough that there are people out there that this film would speak to.
Okay.
It's one of the most horrific, disturbing, visceral reactions. I mean, I was trying to eat during the movie.
Taxidermia. Is it foreign?
Taxidermia, 2006. It's a Hungarian film.
Oh, I don't know.
It is one of the most beautiful films I've seen in recent memory. However, it is one of the most vile films. Vile is the only word that comes to mind when I think of this movie. It's three stories, about three different men, three different generations. Right. And it opens up with a really beautiful shot of a man who's bringing himself to an erection. Ooh. And then a giant flame is shooting out of his penis.
That is beautiful.
He later humps a dead pig.
Okay.
Not before you see what he's actually fantasizing about, which is humping a very large, unattractive woman.
Oh.
It shows penetration at all. Penetration, bro.
Hence why big ass bitches was on your mind.
And then it cuts straight to actually what is actually happening. He's humping a recently slaughtered pig.
Oh god.
And then it moves on to an obese speed eater.
Oh no.
Who is in a competition constantly, and he's a lot of throwing up, a lot of puking.
I don't like.
But it's beautiful transitions. Beautiful. I know that there is a portion of our audience.
Film.
Very well crafted. It reminds me much of Jean Pierre Jeunet.
Okay.
Who did Amelie, of course.
Yeah, of course.
A very Amelie, very delicatessen, very in the same style. Okay. Most of the Hungarian historical symbolism was completely lost on me. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh, you didn't get the cultural references?
I think it was all about the Cold War, what went on with Russia. And then the last story is about a taxidermist who, spoiler alert, if you're going to watch it, close your ears right now because I'm going to say what happens there
at the end.
You see the poster right there?
Yeah.
That's his torso because he ends up taxidermying himself somehow.
Oh, my God.
And it's in a realistic fashion that you could actually believe it.
That's insane.
It is horrific and awesome.
And
I did enjoy it. It's a solid 4 stars out of 5.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Then I saw Sugar. You seen this 2008 film called Sugar? No, it's kind of shot documentary style. It's from the producer-director team at Half Nelson. I don't know if you like that.
Sure.
If you saw that, Ryan Gosling, inner-city kid, teacher.
Oh, I thought it was a Judd Nelson one.
Sugar is about a Dominican Republic. This might shock you, Brian, but I am not.
Yeah.
I am not a Dominican.
What?
Nor do I descend from there or have
any. Everything I've known about you now I consider a lie.
So this is like a slice of life film, and it was kind of like, you know, what's it like to be a kid who plays baseball in the Dominican Republic?
That's right. I meant to see this movie. I think I'm on TV.
I'm a fan of the sport baseball. I like it. It is slow, but I can appreciate its nuances. I do not watch it on a professional level because my team is the Pirates, and it's a broken league.
Ooh.
And when you have when they're playing the Yankees, and like Jeter comes up to bat, and the announcer proudly says, Jeter makes more than the entire culmination of all of the Pittsburgh Pirates that have ever played in the history of the world. It's a broken league, so I can't watch.
Doug Drabeck?
Wow. Bill Madlock.
Yeah.
How about that? I can't watch Kanger. Major League Baseball, but
Kanger.
Jeff King was my favorite ever. This it follows the kid from the Dominican Republic right. into the minor leagues, sure. and it's very slow and plotty, much like baseball. So yeah. if you're a baseball fan, you'll be able to get on the on pace with that with the pace. You'll be able to get on track with the pace. But it's a good film. I'm not.
You liked it.
It's a slice of life. Yeah, stuff that I'd never seen before, never really thought about before. And I, from what I can tell, it's very realistic.
Where'd you find time to see these movies? It was all
late
weekend.
At night.
All
right. I didn't get to bed till 4 last night, and I was up at 9 to be here. What? And then we got the time pushed again.
I was up late the other night too. Charlie, my dog, got some chocolate.
Oh,
yeah. They rushed him to the emergency room. Out there.
Did you really?
Well, we called the hospital and we told him how much he ate, and they were like, "Oh, yeah, talk to him. Bring him in." He ate like 2 2-ounce truffles, which for a 9.5-pound dog is a lot.
It's got to be truffles at your house, doesn't it?
Anyway, be that as it may.
Never feel the discipline.
I was up late too, but I was watching in horror. I was watching X-rays of my dog.
So Miguel Sugar Santos, it's, yeah. it follows his life.
Miguel.
And from everything I've read, it's very, very spot on.
Mikey Sugar.
Miguel Sugar. Yeah. So, and then I finally put it to test, and it had the test. The theory has been proven, Brian.
Yeah.
3D films do ruin films for me. 3D ruins movies for me. I went to see The Last Airbender.
Oh.
Kind of just to see like if I could get through it.
I banned Shyamalan.
Half an hour in, I walked over to the 2D version of Toy Story 3, which was recently somewhat ruined for me by its 3D version. And Toy Story 3 is probably the best of the three.
Really?
I love it. It's got the greatest ending of all time, the sweetest, prettiest, cutest, tear-jerking ending. It's like it ends perfectly.
Right.
It's one of the most perfect endings in any movie I've ever seen.
You changed midstream from a review of Airbender to review
because
of
I bailed on Airbender.
Okay.
Airbender's, imagine this, giant budget. All the top people in the field working for you.
Sure.
Art direction,
yeah.
cinematography.
Technically.
And then you put like an 8-year-old boy on set and you say, direct the actors.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a Nickelodeon film, which kind of makes sense, but it felt like Xena the Warrior Princess. It felt like made for morning TV.
Right.
Sunday morning TV.
So wait, you walked out of
one of the worst acting performances I've ever seen by all the kids. I felt bad for all the people in it.
Your exit was a commentary on the quality of the film, not on the 3D experience, or both.
No, the Airbender was not 3D.
What?
Airbender was. I didn't see it in 3D.
Then
I went and saw Toy Story 3 in non-3D. Right. Never mind. Toy Story. I'm finally done talking about Toy Story. I've been talking about it too much.
No,
I love that movie.
You finally got to see it in the way you wanted to.
And it turns out that 3D does ruin movies.
Awesome.
It does. So there you go. Jesus Christ. 12 and a half minutes in.
That's okay. People like reflections.
We got to talk about badass bitches.
Yeah, we do. These bitches are badass.
Because women don't get their due, Brian.
These are the best female characters. I would say the strongest, the baddest ass female characters we've had in film.
I was trying to figure out how to do this now because I think last time, this is kind of like the last episode because a lot of time I'll go on and I'll cheat and I'll see what I did last time.
That's not cheating. You want to make sure you don't leave anything out.
I go on the internet and usually our lists are out there somewhere.
Right.
I couldn't find a list for this one anywhere. I don't know if this one ever aired.
I know. I emailed our buddy Giovanni and said, hey, dig up this list for me. I know you got it somewhere.
He came through.
He sent me your list too. I ignored it, by the way, but he sent me both of our lists.
I think that my criteria last time was all my badass bitches had to be bangable as well. I had to want to bang them, yes.
Well,
I deviated from that this time.
What was your criteria?
My criteria, I kept going like, do they have to just be scary? Do they have to be like unassuming? Or do they have to be sexy? Or do they have to know how to take a beating? And I decided to go with a whole potpourri. Each one's got its own little category. The best of each.
The one thing I remember about our list last time was we had no crossover, which is shocking to me.
I don't think we're going to have crossover here either. And I got 3 new ones. As far as I can remember from what I think my list was last time.
Right. I've reorganized my list, and the criteria I had was...
My list kicks ass.
I always did...
Badass.
I did the thing of, like, who would win in a fight? If they're placed together in a fight, who would win?
Okay.
And the ultimate badass would beat the other four, and the next one would beat the other three. You know what I'm saying?
You know what would be really fun? It's like, we'll go one-on-one with each. Let's do that.
Yeah. Ooh, badass.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Number 5 for you.
Oh,
really? Oh, you want to go first?
All right,
mine's the least inspired choice. Let's get the run out of the way.
I need to reach the bell for the because they're going to be.
Oh, that's right. It. Yeah. Well, the table scribbles. Okay. There's a bell sound effect on the machine right there.
I'm talking about things off mic.
Yeah, people can't see the fifth greatest badass bitch of all time, according to me. Not an inspired choice, but an obvious one, maybe Trinity from The Matrix, played by Carrie Ann Moss. Now. Maybe lessened somewhat, but the next two films, she becomes less of a badass as the next two films go on, culminating in her death in Matrix Revolutions. She gets impaled by some, like, electrical cords. But in the first one, in the first film, she is a badass. She does, she leads off the film. She opens the film with a serious ass-kicking, serious ass-kicking of some cops. But the only problem is, though, when if you were to put her in a fight with anybody, her skills are all manipulated of imaginary world. So she's not actually that skilled of a fighter, but in this imaginary world, she can't be stopped. She's almost unstoppable.
That's just because she learned how to manipulate the Matrix, right?
Yes.
This is every lesbian's wet dream. I saw this at the Village Theater in Westwood when it came out, and I remember lesbians behind me. It was like the day it came out, and they'd already seen it two or three times somehow, the lesbians behind me, because they were like... Right. They were saying her lines with her, and they were yelling in sexual manners whenever she was on screen. They were moaning to her, and that's
where is she gone, by the way? Is she in movies still?
I think she just makes lesbian porn.
Oh, my God.
That would make sense. That would make sense to me.
Sorry, go ahead. You saw it in the theater.
So that's all. I mean, there's a pair of lesbians behind me yelling about how great they thought she was.
Yeah, you know what? You can't. It's an intangible thing. But I too must credit my theater going experience with my putting her on the list. I saw this movie at like a preview screening with a friend who brought me there. He's like, "Oh, we're gonna go see The Matrix," and I'd see a trailer for it. I'm like, "That stupid Keanu Reeves movie."
Are you kidding me? That's what you thought of it, really? I remember being pumped up about this movie.
But I thought it looked stupid. I thought Keanu Reeves was stupid. Well, obviously I was wrong, but the point is, I was like, this is going to be dumb. And the movie opens up with her kicking ass for 3 solid minutes. And I'm like, wow, this is... And like people like spontaneously ripped into applause. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a pretty sweet movie. Mm-hmm. And of course it was. And she was pretty good pretty much of an ass kicker. So the 5th best badass bitch of all time.
So if I'm hearing this right, it took other people applauding the movie and liking it for you to get on board.
Yeah, I was initially resisting, and I heard the applause. Like, oh, people like this. Like I must, in fact, like it then. Yeah. I must follow like a
Come on, I'm in.
Yeah, that's how I live my life. So anyway, Carrie Ann Moss.
I'm going to start off with against the typecast a character named Vanessa Lutz, who is bangable.
That's the character?
Yes, in a movie called Freeway, 1996. Oh, Matthew Bright's Freeway.
Reese Witherspoon.
Who was a little trashy, white trash mama from the South, who pretty much look at how hot she was.
Yeah, that's her Kiefer, right?
Yes, that's when she beats the ass out of Bob, played by Kiefer.
Right.
Who now, even when you watch it now, it's even more impressive because, okay, Kiefer's trying to rape her.
Well, she's bigger than Kiefer.
None, but not back then. She's a little waif, you think.
No, I'm not saying she's big. I'm saying Kiefer's tiny.
Oh, I forgot
the... Yeah.
Gotta ring the bell for this. She would kick the ass out of your little character over there.
It's
if it was in the real
true.
World.
Yeah, if it was the real world.
And because, like I said, your character's a lesbian, she would probably try and have her way with little Miss Vanessa Lutz.
That's right.
But seeing her kick the hell out of, what's his name from 24? I don't watch 24, so what are you doing? Pay attention to me, Brian.
Sorry, buddy.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Why are you waving your hand like
forget about
a Roman
it. Keep
Greek?
Going. Keep going.
God.
Forget about it.
What the hell was that? It was like you just...
There's a camera pointed right up my... nothing.
All right, explain to me.
They just got some cameras in here. They just set them up, and it's pointed at a blank couch. I'm like...
Kiefer Sutherland's goddamn name in 24. I don't watch
Jack
that show.
Jack Bauer.
Okay, Jack Bauer. Watching her kick the ass out of Jack Bauer named Bob.
Even more impressive in retrospect.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying from Freeway. Directed and written by a fabulous man named Matthew Bright, who's kind of disappeared.
Yeah,
he hasn't
not
made
familiar
it.
With the name.
He made Freeway 2 as well.
Of course he did.
What he wanted to do was make a bunch of Hansel.
Like Troy Duffy.
He wanted to make a bunch of Mother Goose. This was actually based on Little Red Riding Hood. And then he made Hansel and Gretel.
Right.
It was a follow-up to this. Had Vincent Gallo was playing the witch.
Vinny G.
For some reason, he had a giant phallic penis, too. Oh. It was very odd, disturbing. Oh, okay. I actually saw Freeway. It was called Freeway 2. I saw that at Toronto Film Festival like 15 years ago.
He
hasn't made another film since, as Matthew Bright. However, he is making he wrote Forbidden Zone 2,
okay,
which is going to be directed by Danny Elfman's brother.
Ooh.
It's got a cult following.
I was going to say, better be.
Cult following. Anyways, yes, I love Reese Witherspoon.
So I think she would be Trinity in a fight if it was in the real world. If it's in the Matrix.
Should we continue down this road? Should we continue? I think it's kind of a gay road to go to, to be honest. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I love Vanessa Lutz. If you haven't seen Freeway, it's a little small time film, independent film.
Right.
And it's not for everybody, but Reese Witherspoon is awesome.
Nice. All right, breakdown.
And she's bangable.
Yeah, she is. Breaking? Yeah, breakdown.
We get to hear a little Ween, that means.
Feature artist of the week, Ween from the album Quebec.
Look at that picture. Is that picture going to go up there on our website there, Logan? Because an amazing picture.
It's a good picture.
I'm going to be here for Halloween.
If you'd like to be like Ween, first of all, you can't. Secondly, if you want to be a feature artist of the week, email us, thefilmvault@adamcarolla.com. Coming up next, the rest of our top five. and miss movies in the show.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah, Film Vault, welcome back. That was good. That's the post there, Anderson. Anderson's mouthing along with the words. This is going to be a great day for you. You're co-hosting a show, a very popular movie show, by the way, and your favorite band is the Bumper Music.
Featured artist.
Yeah. Featured artist.
My favorite or second favorite Ween song ever.
Are you kidding me?
Ever.
Really?
God, that's great. Should we save yourself.
Should we have it playing low underneath our list?
No, fine. No. Okay. I don't want to bastardize
that's
the song.
That's distracting.
I don't want to ruin the song.
Ween is a feature artist of the week.
It should be every week.
That's awfully nice of them. We should throw a little Ween in there once in a while.
How about a little mindless self-indulgence? How about that? How about we try and contact those fucks and get them on there?
Yeah.
Yeah? Good band, Brian. You like them. You can dance to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest of our top five.
Badass bitches.
Yeah, badass bitches. All right, my number four. Again, an obvious choice. I feel like all my choices are semi-obvious.
Yeah, you know what? I left the really obvious ones to you, hoping that you would take them.
Thank you.
And I was going to go down, as I usually do, to a little more obscure route.
I feel like my number one is slightly more obscure, maybe an odd choice, but my number one, number five through two are obvious choices. And number four is Be That As It May.
Why do you love to say that so much?
Be That As It
May. So you say that Dr. Drew is coming in here later today?
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to fight over that saying because that's his favorite. Yeah, yeah, you should. Be That As It May off.
It's good stuff.
Sounds sexual. Go.
Sarah Connor, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor, Terminator 2, not Terminator 1.
That's not obvious at all.
But it's badass.
She is badass.
The first shot you see of her. You remember Sarah Connor from Terminator 1, but that horrible perm, and she's cowering and hiding, and she the whole movie, she's a victim, and she's running, and she's abused. The first shot you see of her in Terminator 2, you're like, oh, she's been locked up for years in an insane asylum. And you go over, she looks like De Niro from Cape Fear, minus the tattoos. She's doing pull-ups in her cell.
Good point. It's true.
She's a badass.
Here's a question for you
that I have
for you.
Glistening. Her muscles.
Has the real Sarah Connor in real life, the real actress, has she ever reproduced?
Linda Hamilton?
Yeah.
Children? Oh, I think she has. She was married to James Cameron for a while.
We need to figure that out.
I don't know for sure.
Because if she hasn't, I'm going to make an argument to say that perhaps she's not a woman.
Oh.
And maybe she shouldn't be on your list because I'm not so sure that she's a lady. I mean, look at her.
One of the more impressive things about Linda Hamilton in that movie is she got buff naturally. This is the days before steroids are really prevalent.
How do you know that?
Anderson, I'm convinced. By the way, I'm glad this is on tape because I've never said this before, but I'm glad this is on tape now. I'm convinced that many actors and actresses are on steroids. And gives them to get buffed unnaturally for like these fantasy film roles.
So
that's not. Be that as it may. the next great scandal.
I encourage it everywhere. It's sports too. Do your steroids. I don't care.
The next
just
great scandal is actors taking steroids wantonly. You think Jake Gyllenhaal got buffed like that for Prince of Persia on his own? Please, little Jake
Christian
Gyllenhaal.
Bale.
Linda Hamilton credits her two children to causing her to get treatment for her bipolar disorder.
There you go.
And she adopted them from what country?
Oh.
Lesbatonia?
Vagina.
Why am I picking on her? I like her, actually, and I feel bad for her if she was married to that control freak known as James Cameron, who made the greatest film ever, Avatar.
That's true.
He does make a good sequel, though.
It does make a good sequel.
And he is here. Actually, a lot of badass bitches are in sequels, as you will find out with Brian's list, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which will continue on here.
That's right.
Momentarily, be that as it may, Brian.
So anyway,
you're not done talking about Linda?
We don't need to say a lot more about Sarah Connor. She's a great character, an early, if you will, maybe on the early trend of strong female characters. Physically strong, by the way.
Adept at weaponry. Yeah. Yes, she knows how to fire a gun. Right.
Number four for you.
And she fired James Cameron's gun there for a while. That was horrible. I'm sorry.
Cut that out, Logan.
My 4A and 4B, Brian. Stop looking at your finger. I want you to look at me.
I'm listening. I listen
look
better.
Stop when flipping me off. You're flipping me.
I look better when I don't look at you.
Okay. Brian's doing a manicure on himself. 4A and 4B. This is actually quite interesting.
A and B.
To me.
What are you doing to your teeth?
I got fruit in them. I just had a peach or whatever that. This is unassuming and young and innocent. That's this category here. 4A, 4B. Both recent films.
Okay.
I'm talking about Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
With Hit Girl.
Yeah, you love
played
Kick-Ass.
Played by Chloe Moretz.
I gotta say Kick-Ass.
And then Let the Right One In, the Swedish film.
Oh.
Played by Lena Linderson.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting... Now, Kick-Ass, obvious choice. She is a little girl. She's cute. She's adorable. And she is horrifying as far, and I shouldn't say horrifying, but I mean, she slices you up. It's made in a campy, fun, cartoony way. So yeah. It's not like horrifying, but if it, you know, if you edit it a little bit differently, right, sure. If it was a different director, being not yeah. Matthew Vaughn, I mean, she could scare you with the way, what she does with knives. She's sure. very adept with weaponry, okay. Brian. Okay. However, and Let the Right One In, Vampire Girl, Ellie,
ooh.
Lena Leanderson, the last scene of this movie, which I'm not going to talk about at length. I'm not going to give anything away okay. here, but it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in cinema. Right. I was thinking that it's the best CGI I've ever seen.
Really?
And then I watched the extras to find out that it wasn't CGI at all. They did it old school style, oh but God. She kicked some serious ass at the end of that movie to the point of, I'm just going to say dismemberment.
Nice.
And
that's her. Logan, get a better picture up there.
Now, here's the interesting part. And as I announced here like a fool about a month ago, I'm hearing rumors that Chloe Moritz, hit girl from Kick-Ass, she's going to be the American version yeah. of Ellie and Let the Right One In. Turns out it's already finished. It's, I watched the trailer.
There it is.
And she is actually playing the part of this girl. So it's like full circle. It all comes together. You nice. See what I'm saying?
This is why it's 4A and 4B. It's apropos to the discussion.
I don't know why they changed the name, but it's she's going to be Abby, and they changed the name of the movie as well to Let Me In.
Okay.
And she's not playing Ellie. She's playing Abby, but it's the same character, essentially. And she is going to be a little vampire. Nice. And I'm not a big vampire guy at all, as you know, Brian.
Right.
But this one was done well, and I'm curious to see how the American version all turns right. out.
Sweet.
Directed by the guy who did Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm still not sure if I liked Abrams? Or disliked. No, he produced that.
I produced it, yeah.
Thomas Alfredson directed Let the Right One In. And I don't have the name of Matt Reeves.
There you go.
Matt Reeves is going to be directing the new one. So, yes, good trailer. I'm hoping good things because Let the Right One In is just one of the best movies in the last 5 years, for sure.
Yeah, you love it.
I love it. You got to see it.
I will. I got to see that and Kick-Ass.
And Sin Nombre?
I have it in my DVD player.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because I'd like that back, please.
No, you don't have it back.
Can I please
without
have it
a
back?
Name?
When was the last time you gave me a movie?
Yeah. I gave you Hot Rod back.
Oh, that's yeah. great. Just give me movies back.
Give me movies back. All right, number three for me. Maybe the godmother of the list, the name that came up the most on internet searches, A True Badass, from another James Cameron sequel, Aliens. Ellen Ripley.
Ooh, that's a stretch, Brian.
No, it's not at all. It's not a stretch. My God. It's not a stretch. I'm not trying to blow your mind.
Careful.
I'm trying to pay due respect where it's due.
True. I'm glad.
Sigourney Weaver, 1986. Possibly, would we call her the first great badass bitch of all time? I couldn't find one prior to that.
I would guess that on your list you're going to have somebody who is a badass bitch who's higher on your list and did it earlier. That's my guess. But that being said, yes, I think she kind of is like the archetype now.
Right.
For the mold. Do you still have...
An Alien, she's sort of badass.
Do you have off the top alien. Of your head what her demands were for Alien 2, for Aliens?
Oh, you told me what it was. It was like...
I thought it was you told me.
No, it was Alien 3, or I thought it was. She demanded to like either die or be impregnated by an alien or
yes,
something.
Yes, which
like
she
that.
almost got.
Right.
I think she did get. No, she almost did. I mean, right. there was that subhuman.
Yeah.
Who she was in love with, and she kind of made out with there at the end.
Well, they were all sort of...
She didn't want to hold a weapon. She had to die.
There was sort of a subplot about aliens using humans as incubators to make more aliens, which was kind of like, impregnation. Remember?
Yes.
That was horrible. It was a great sequel, by the way.
When we originally did this, they all had to be bangable, so she was easily off the list.
Yeah. What?
Once again, has she had a child? Has she had a child? Can we confirm that she is, in fact, female?
In the movie, by the way, she sort of is the de facto mother to Newt.
Yes.
She sort of adopts Newt, who's been hiding in the air ducts, much like the aliens themselves.
They really played with your heartstrings with that Newt, didn't they? They used her to keep you on the edge of your seat, worried about the little kid.
Little kid's in danger.
Yeah, yeah.
How she survived this long?
What year is this, Brian?
86.
86.
And again, in the first one, she was sort of a badass. She does defeat the alien, send it out in the space.
More girly, though, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. More of a femme fatale. More of a damsel in distress. I'm not femme fatale. Damsel in distress. Where this
almost
one...
Almost like a Princess Leia type.
This one, she's like a take charge, get behind me and my machine gun.
She's like, I've been through it now.
Safety. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You guys know what you're
follow
in for.
Follow me. Yeah.
You guys know what you're in for. You don't drop against.
And Bane followed her.
Bane. Michael Bane.
Yeah, Michael Bane followed.
Michael Bane did not survive the trip. Unfortunately.
Brian, spoiler alert.
Sorry. And Paul Reiser is a delightful bad guy.
I love Paul Reiser.
He's great.
Where'd he go? We need more Paul Reiser.
And by the way, best part of this movie, alien named Bishop.
You know, I came in with some three.
All right.
Number three. I'm not going to do that.
What?
We have too much. We have too much to get to.
Too much show.
Too much show.
Go, Northern.
I'm going to go with Mike. She takes a beating.
Okay.
She knows how to take a beat.
Oh, I think I knew this. Is.
Do you?
I have a guess.
Was it Tony Soprano who beat the hell out of her?
Yes, it was.
But it's not Tony Soprano.
It was a young Tony Soprano.
It was a young Tony Soprano.
A little bit of hair.
Young Gandolfini beats the hell out of Alabama Whitman.
Worley.
Drew Ometz.
Worley.
Tony Scott movie, the greatest Tarantino movie is, ever made, as far as I'm concerned, okay. Even though he didn't direct
it. Was his first script?
One of his first. I think Natural Born Killers might have been his first script. But yes, it's the first script to be actually made into a film. Okay. And there is a scene where Alabama, I got a friend of mine, she cuts my hair. And I guess I was kind of getting shaggy there for a while, Brian.
Right.
I guess I went like a year and a half with that, in a haircut.
I
wanted to get a haircut by her. And she was like, oh, you know how long it's been since you've been in here, Anderson? I have a baby. And I said, you weren't pregnant last time I saw you. She goes, exactly.
Wow.
And I said, what's the baby's name? She said, Alabama. I said, please tell me it's from True Romance. Please tell me that's where you got the name. She's like, you were the first person to know that.
She looked at you blankly.
Alabama is one of the sexiest, sweetest, greatest characters ever. It's a Patricia Arquette at her prime.
The hot Arquette.
The hot Arquette. Yeah. And there's a scene where they're trying to get some information out of her, and she will not give it.
Right.
To Mr. James Gandolfini, who beats the living hell out of her through plate glass windows. There's no beating back. She's not badass in the sense of
she's beating the hell back.
She's taking a beating. And then she finally does beat back there at the end with the old foot cut.
She slams a screwdriver. A corkscrew.
It was a corkscrew. You're right. Good, Brian. There's a whole, falling in the bathtub. I mean, Tony Scott directed the hell out of that scene.
Yeah.
It's like the hell out of that movie.
It's like a rope-a-dump strategy. She takes a beating and then doles it out at the end and wins.
And she does. She wins, which was a little hard to believe. But you know what? You love her that much. Doesn't she get him with a
toilet seat lid or toilet cover or something like that?
It's the back of the tank. The top of the tank.
Porcelain tank cover.
But she one of the greatest things about this is she continues to look sexy even as an Ike Turner girlfriend.
Yeah.
Completely beat the hell up.
It's
like we'll bring it up to speak. Like a Chris Brown girlfriend.
Oh,
she looks
like a white
still
Rihanna.
Looks sexy.
Like a white Rihanna.
Even beat up. She throws on some sunglasses and continues to look hot.
Yeah.
Her lips just got a little bit bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
She had the Angelina Jolie look.
Puffier lips.
Right. A little blood. Looks like she messed up on her
head of her time.
Lipstick.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Number two for me. Wasn't my number one last time, but I've since adjusted my list.
This is who I was discussing. This is what I was talking about.
Oh, yes.
Somebody badass, more badass than Ripley.
Well, she's less badass because in the sequel, she softens. She's a little softer in the sequel. Mm. But the bride, Beatrix Kiddo, from Kill Bill Volume 1, your favorite Tarantino movie.
This was your number one last time?
Yeah, my number one last time. She kills 88 Japanese guys.
Yeah, I didn't get
that. That's amazing.
I didn't understand. It was like that middle scene in Kick-Ass, which you haven't seen, but it just went on for the entire movie.
Right, pretty much.
And, I could like to see a scene or two of that, but not the entire movie. It was like, what? I still don't understand, Brian. Was it a joke? Was it supposed to be funny when she cut these people up?
I think so. It was supposed to be done for high camp.
So it would be like the same joke over and over and over again through the entire goddamn movie.
She kills or dismembers 88, well, supposedly 88, they're the crazy 88s. I assume they're named that because of the 88 members. She kills or dismembers all of them, and also Lucy Liu's character, who's an assassin, and she's part of the Deadly Viper Assassin Squad, the Divas. That's badass.
Okay.
The Deadly Viper Assassin.
Are they making a third Kill Bill?
No. But,
They should.
They shot some footage for a Kill Bill sequel 25 years from now, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because remember the scene where she kills Vivica Fox? Badass too, by the way. Mm-hmm. She goes in and she kills her in front of her daughter. And she goes, sorry to see that. I didn't mean to do that. If you want to settle the score in 20 years, come find me. Set it up for a sequel. That's some forward thinking, by the way.
That is some very forward thinking. That's some assuming that he's still going to be in favor with studios. And still making films.
Tarantino will be making films, I think,
for years and years to come.
I don't share his enthusiasm for Uma Thurman. I don't think anyone does, including Uma Thurman. But he loves himself from Uma Thurman.
People do.
They are going to make a Kill Bill Volume 3.
Yeah, Brian just announced that it's going to be released in 2036.
That's right. What's forward to that. Red light, green light. Not green light back.
2036.
I heard an interview with Quentin Tarantino. He said he wanted to do maybe one or two movies and then go back and do Kill Bill 3. So could be in the next 5 years or so.
How dare you, Logan?
So everything you just said is false.
That's right. Goddamn it. All right. Number two for you.
Yeah, I understand Kill Bill. I understand that there's a lot of technique there.
I understand. In the sequel.
I understand that it's an achievement. I get that. Yep. I'm not saying that it was easy to make. I just don't. I don't get it.
You don't share the enthusiasm.
I'm not trying to hate on it. I'm not trying to hate it.
You hate women.
I do. That's what I'm saying. All right. This one just it's straight up sexy.
Sure.
Brian.
Yeah.
This is a 1997 film.
Okay.
Where she's not a human being, Brian.
What?
And she's not water.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not earth.
Yeah.
And she's not air. She's the fifth element, Brian.
Oh, I thought you were going to give something else.
Which I guess is carbon.
Yeah.
She is Lilu.
That's right.
And Luc Besson's fifth element.
Mila Jovovich.
Holy S, is this woman near perfect?
Yeah, she's a good looking lady.
And she
has pink hair.
Cartoony.
Yep.
Cute. Kick ass. Bad. Now, like, I'm never scared of her, really. But you know that everything's going to be fine when she gets out of that little container that they have her in and she lands in the back of what's his name's
Gary
cab
Oldman.
There. Not Gary
Oldman.
Bruce
Willis.
He plays Mr. Zold.
I thought you were going to say Speed.
Bruce Willis is a flying cab, and it's just a great movie. Love it. Love her. She is a badass bitch.
Yeah.
She will kick the ass out of you, and she would bang the ass out of you, and she is hot, and I love her. Look at her.
Relentless.
Well, it looks a little late.
Mila Jovovich was
I don't know if it stands up.
No.
Now that I'm looking at the picture, I'm not sure I'm a fan.
Looks very 90s.
It looks very mid-90s in a French, through French glasses.
Yeah. But you know what, though?
That's not a good picture.
Mila Jovovich.
There we go. Yeah, that's a good one. Is. With the bandage dress. Well, I love that dress.
She was
I'm going to demand that the girl gets married to me while wearing the dress, that dress. Bandages over the nips. Yeah.
Why isn't her career taking off more? I mean, she's very famous and well-known, but I feel like
she was the first ever Parker Lewis Can't Lose, the pilot.
Really?
Never had a song about
it. Is that true?
You know why? Because I don't know if she signed the contract or if she owes the Russian mafia money or what it is, but Resident Evil has completely destroyed her career, as far as I can tell.
That is true. She was a model, and then nothing. She was Joan of Arc.
Have you seen Luc Besson lately? The director?
Have I seen him personally?
That's another thing that probably killed her career was The Messenger.
Yeah.
God, it was awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
Terrible. Luc Besson, I think that might have been his last film that he directed. And he has since put on another human being.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's
two humans in one.
He's the Rennie Harlan to her Gene Davis.
He is.
Yeah.
That's well put, Brent.
That's right.
I think that he might be, it's almost like he's in taxidermia. And he's in an eating competition with Francis Ford Coppola. Who is winning at this point? But Luc Besson is close on his tail.
How about this for next week?
Huge.
Top five promising acting careers derailed by marriage.
Hey, that's not bad.
Hey, not bad.
How about top five huge fat directors?
Okay.
Wait, did...
there are only five.
Did Coppola sit on this couch?
Yes, he did.
He fit on the couch?
They had to bring in an extra section.
Is that true?
No.
I want to be shocked.
Well, maybe.
He enjoys his wine.
I wasn't there that day.
You weren't.
All right, number one.
Not invited, Brian.
Number one.
Oh, well, how am I a number one? I haven't done my number one yet.
Number one for me.
I know, but I thought you went for number one.
I did.
I went first.
I went first. I went first with Trinity from The Matrix.
No, you followed that. Oh, okay, whatever.
All right. Number one for me.
Go.
She stands only 4'10". She only weighs 90 pounds.
Dr. Ruth.
She never speaks. She's a perfect woman. No.
Small wonder.
Lagerstein. All right.
Small wonder.
She wears a kimono. And she wields a wakizashi. I'd look that up. It's like a katana blade. She's Miho, and she's from Sin City, a movie you've never seen. How dare you? 2005, played by Devon Aoki.
Really?
Apparently, half Japanese, half American model. I didn't know this, which is great because she didn't have to talk. She just kicks ass. She dismembers and kills dudes. She's the enforcer for Old Town, where the prostitutes live in Sin City. She's the single enforcer.
If you didn't keep saying she, it sounds like you're describing Crispin Glover in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the female version.
Female version.
Less hot.
And she's hot?
Not
less
hot.
Less hot
yeah,
than Crispin.
Glover, that's right.
Yeah.
No, she's very pretty. She's very good looking.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
She looks like Down syndrome.
How dare you?
Looks like she has Down syndrome.
Deadly little Mio.
Yeah.
There she goes. Clive Owen does the voiceover for her segment.
It looks like they superimposed a baby's face onto a woman's body.
Oh, she's so badass. The blade is bigger than her. The sword she carries, and she wields it with deadly accuracy. She beheads Benicio del Toro's dead corpse because they can't identify the body because he's a cop, and if they find a cop's dead body, then it's war with Old Town, and you don't want that. The girls don't want that.
So they have a tenuous... when I finally see this movie on your request, I won't be surprised at all when that happens. Thanks, Brian.
Well, to be fair,
that's
only one of like eight storylines.
I think that you liking her and saying that she's sexy.
She is.
Should, if the proper authorities are listening, she'll put you on at least a pedophile watch list.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
She's like,
small
she's
and she has the face of a baby. Like a newborn, like a two-month-old baby. Yeah, look at her.
Well, that's pretty sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Anderson, to be fair, she's like a two-year-old who wants it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And I say the worst things. In our radio careers, Brian, who's been fired most?
I lead the way.
I've never been fired. So
hundredfold.
I'd say you'd be number one.
Hundredfold.
There's something else, too, that was kind of interesting that I was thinking about the other day that no one would guess between you and I.
People like me and they don't like you?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're a very likable guy, right?
Number one for you, Anderson.
Number one for me. Not Miho. A likable lady at all.
Miho, by the way. You got to see Sin City.
And here's
let's see when I see Sin City.
You want to watch it together.
Yeah.
I have many rules when watching films.
Really?
The most recent one is never again 3D. Never again. Ever.
All right.
I don't need robots sitting on my face to enjoy a movie. That's what the glasses feel like. All especially right. the Dolby enough. Digital. Feels like a robot is squatting on
all
your
right.
face.
All right.
Number two, I don't watch films while I'm paired because I don't want to think that I like the movie.
Well, you and I are incompatible now.
Which I kind of did the other day. I got to admit this, Brian. I was drinking some wine. And I'm like, you know what? I got Bye Bye Birdie. Let's watch it.
You got Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah, and I enjoyed it, and I think it's because I was drunk.
Had you seen it before?
No.
Yeah.
So I broke my rule there.
All right.
And number three is I can't watch a movie that somebody else has already seen.
With them.
Especially if they've seen it multiple times and they love it.
Wow.
Can't do it.
Well, then I'm out.
All right.
My number one.
Now, this might not count for you. You might discredit it because it's a documentary.
What?
But it's a movie.
It's a movie.
She's a character.
Okay.
An actual character. A real life character.
All right.
And I'm a little scared of her in real life as well. And if she's listening to this, I wouldn't be surprised if she killed you and I just to prove her badassness.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just to prove her.
She's still around?
You seen Cocaine Cowboys?
Oh, it's on my queue. It's on my instant queue.
Griselda Blanco.
It's on my instant queue.
No one also is the Black Widow, the godmother, La Madrina. Mama Coca.
She's a cocaine queen
of Miami.
Cocaine smuggler.
Without her and without what happened down in Miami in the 70s, there is no Miami Vice.
That's right.
Which is probably a good thing.
That's probably a good thing.
There is no Dexter.
Yeah.
Dexter pretty much borrows a page from what went on down there with all the chainsaws and the killing.
Yep.
And there is no Scarface. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
She pretty much is the actual real life Scarface.
She's like the most influential female character in history of movies.
She was born in Colombia.
Yeah.
When she was 3 years old,
she moved to
Medellin.
She likes the coca.
Medellin.
The coca.
She was in Cowboys, Cocaine Cowboys, and Cocaine Cowboys 2, hustling with Grandmother Blanco.
Yeah.
She is believed to be responsible for all three of her husband's deaths by professional contract killers. She's named her youngest son Michael Corleone, Brian.
Wow.
Her oldest three sons dead. All dead.
At her hand, possibly.
She was last seen in an airport in Bogota Airport on May 13th, 2007.
She's on the loose.
On the loose, Brian
Anderson.
She's known for at least 200 contracted mastermind killings.
Do you think she listens to podcasts?
She kills people just for the F of it.
Do you think she likes podcasts?
Yeah, she is the type of person that would kill the two of us.
Oh my God.
I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Like she. You know Kenji Gallo?
Wait,
he wrote a book called Break Shot, all about the mafia,
and he's pretty much
taunting the mafia, saying, hey, I ratted all of them out, and they're all a bunch of pussies, and you know, here's my address, come kill me.
Right.
We had him, I booked him on Loveline 6 months ago, actually when Corolla was filling in.
Dead man.
And he was fun, he was a good guy, he's still alive.
Right, for now.
He writes about her quite a bit.
Let's hurry up and book him,
and
he's dead.
He doesn't, he's not scared of God, any of them, he's terrified of her, he never really says anything bad about her, yeah.
Wow, she's known to track down and kill all
them. Griselda Blanco, the biggest badass I've ever seen.
A real character. A
in
real
cinema.
Person.
And she's a real person.
It's awesome.
Now, here's the good news / bad news. From what I can tell, they're making a TV show out of this, Cocaine Cowboys, which I thought they already did poorly, called Miami Vice, which was great at the time. Right. But looking back on it, I guess that in Cocaine Cowboys, actually, they talk about how they all made fun of Miami Vice and just how ridiculous it was. But
the movie Miami Vice was amazing.
They're making it. Have you seen it?
Yes, it was terrible.
They're making a TV show. Out of Cocaine Cowboys, and it looks like they might be making a feature film out of it as well.
Okay,
it's all rumored and speculation. All I know that is Marky Wahlberg is involved in it somehow, as is Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh boy,
which is never a good thing. However, I did look at his full list. Jerry Bruckheimer is responsible. There are a few films that aren't complete and total pieces of S, such as Black Hawk Down. He was producer of that.
Yeah, see,
American Gigolo, Beverly Hills Cop. Flashdance, and Top Gun.
You know
those
what?
Are his best.
Bruckheimer's fine. I have no problem with him. It's Michael Bay.
He loves hockey.
That's a problem.
Michael Bay is also involved in Cocaine Cowboys, the movie.
He always is.
But it would be
Bruckheimer's fine.
You know, if this movie does get made 3-4 years from now and it's done right, this will be my number one character still portrayed in a movie.
Nice.
Yeah. Griselda Blanco.
What a reach.
Scared.
So no Lola.
Right,
no Lola run for you.
Here's a list that did not make it. Was Lola. Here's how dumb I am. I was like looking her up. I'm like, what's her character's name? Run Lola. It's goddamn in the title, Lola.
Right.
Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, Mallory.
Mallory Knox.
Juliette Lewis.
We should start creeping the music in here because this show's over.
How about
Karen Silkwood, played by Meryl Streep.
Wow.
In the movie Silkwood, way back. Yeah.
How about Dina Meyers, Dizzy from Starship Troopers?
Hey, not
she's
bad.
She's a bug killer.
Yeah, but
she's
I saw her nipples.
Soldier, yeah. I saw her boobs.
I saw her boobs, and she was like an annoying character. Like, please come. Please date me. Please
and she dies.
The guy Tarzan. You know they're making a Starship Troopers 3 or 4 right now.
They've already made like 2 or 3.
Yeah. Jordan O'Neill, played by Demi Moore and G.I. Jane. Suck my dick! That was a great
That's
character.
That's right.
Very good character. And you know what? Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah.
Shaved her head. Not bad.
Yeah, badass.
and Charlie Baltimore, Gina Davis in Long Kiss Goodnight, and of course Erin Brockovich.
Nice.
She's badass.
Coming up next, our favorite badass bitch of all time.
Pregnant badass bitch.
Miss Movies with a little red light, green light next. Welcome back to the Film Vault. This is, of course, Ween. Anderson, of course, is pleased.
All day Ween.
All day Ween.
Keep it playing. We're going to hear this entire song, Logan, all right? Through this entire segment, we get to hear this song. This is fantastic.
That's a great idea. The album is called Quebec.
Quebec.
The band is called Ween.
Transdermal Celebration.
Once again, if you want to be our feature artist of the week, much like Ween, email us, Adam Carolla, or excuse me, thefilmvault@adamcarolla.com.
Don't waste your time. Logan and I have discussed it. We're going to play enough about Ween for the next 15 episodes, right?
Wow, that's
right,
great Logan? Promotion.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah. First things first, Ms. Movies, our favorite contributor here with our regular segment, Red Light, Green Light. The way it works, if you don't know already.
You do, but yeah, we're going to tell you anyway.
You probably do. We'll tell you anyway. In Hollywood, when you want to get a movie made, you go to a studio and you say, hey, I've got this script, or I've got this director, or I've got this star. Here's the idea. Give me some money. And they say, that's a great idea. It's a green light. Go with it. Or they say, it's a terrible idea. It's a red light. No dice. We are here to judge. These are actual movies in actual production. Some are in pre-production. Some are in development. But they're all actual movies. And this movie is going to pitch them to us right now.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
So I'm going to get started.
First movie.
You may remember this from the Lost episode. Mm-hmm. It's called Mean Moms. A happily married mother of two moves from small-town America to the high-class suburbs and is faced with confronting the cutthroat world of competitive parenting.
Mm. Soccer moms.
Tina Fey,
right.
Writing, directing, soccer producing.
Moms. Well, right now we have a producer only, and that's Adam Shankman, who produced 17 Again, Step Up 3D, and Bedtime Stories. He's currently on So You Think You Can Dance.
So that's three strikes, perhaps four strikes, you're out. Why would he be making another film?
Is he, like, related?
He makes money.
Wasn't he, like, someone's, Shannon Doherty's husband or something at one point? Like, was he involved in some porn tape?
Shankman.
He's gay. I don't think that would be possible.
Maybe that's what
his last name, Shankman, yes?
Yeah, Shankman. Yes. Man Shank.
That is how you spell it.
I would think that name would come from prison. From, like, you know, generations ago, where the guy with the shank, and he shanks other men, and how far he's drifted from that, where the name came from.
What's the difference between a shank?
A gay man making 3D Step Up. Step Up 3D?
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if it's the third installment of Step Up, or if it's the original Step Up in 3D.
I would assume that it's the third, because they always wait for the third so they can tie it in and be real clever with the title. Step Up 3D.
It should be a Leonard Part 6 and just start with number 6.
That's a terrible reference, Brian.
But at least they start with number 6, implying there's all history.
Opens with Bill Cosby writing
like Star Wars.
Writing an
ostrich. That's right. Boom. Star Wars and Leonard Part 6.
You know what? I red light this entire conversation. Let's put Ween back up there. Why don't we just listen to Ween for the rest of the segment?
Let's red light this and move on to our next film.
Okay. Why would you bring that in, Miss Movies? Just to hear us say no? You like the way it rolls off our tongues?
I love to make you angry in any way, shape, or form.
You know what? So does Brian.
It's
but
true.
Usually through message forms and emails, and you don't get to actually hear me yell. So I'm not sure why you like to make me mad there, Brian.
I can read your feelings.
So that way you can respond to him in all caps.
I would not do that.
That's my favorite.
All right,
okay,
next
Cowboys and Aliens. This is also part of the Lost episode. In Silver City, Arizona, Apache Indians and Western settlers must lay their differences aside when an alien spaceship crash lands in their city.
Now, this is done, right? This has been shot already. This is finished. This is ready to come out.
Currently filming. Directed by Jon Favreau.
Based on a true story?
False.
Correct. Yeah. Starring Sam Rockwell, Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Olivia Wilde, and Paul Dano.
Mm.
Rockwell loves his sci-fi films.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something you don't really think about when you think of Rockwell, but actually, if you look at his credentials.
So you think about it.
He's been in quite a few sci-fi films. Galaxy Quest.
Choke.
Hitchhiker's Guide. Yep. Choke is not sci-fi, Brian. No. Thank you, though, for your contribution.
Master Man.
As well as Moon that came out this year, last year. Was it last year? I don't know. I loved it whenever it came out.
Right.
Moon.
Iron Man 2.
And Iron Man 2, that's right, which is kind of sci-fi.
Kind of sci-fi.
Look at this guy.
It's science and it's fiction.
And now he's going to be in Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yeah, Cowboys versus Aliens.
And I green light only because of his participation. not because of Favreau.
What about Paul Dano? He made your list of hot young actors a few years ago.
That's not true. He did not.
I'm pretty sure he did.
No, he didn't. Because I remember that list very well. It was Andy Samberg at the top of the list, and followed by all the characters.
Hey, this is our episode right now.
All the characters.
We're rehashing this.
All the characters from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yeah. All right, so forget about that.
You should do it again.
I greenlight this project, even though I fear Favreau's involvement.
I agree with you, Brian. I fear it as well.
What's wrong with Favreau?
He has not proven himself worthy of
the director. I know you guys are hate on Elf, but what else is wrong with Favreau?
Elf Blue.
Elf Blue.
He's fumbled, as far as I can tell, with Iron Man.
He lucked into Iron Man's success, and Iron Man 2 was not good.
Right. He kind of Forrest Gumped his way through life, as far as I can tell. He was fat and jolly in Rudy, which parlayed into a nice little film called Swingers, and everyone thought he was a hero. And except for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, not a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't Favreau all about other things that might cause AIDS or something about that? Like, didn't he have some wacky theories on that?
No, I don't know. Like, if you drink green tea.
He will not eat anything until he's, like, zapped it, allegedly.
Like,
so that way all the... I don't know.
We should get him in here and talk about that.
Okay. Anyways, I've heard he's kind of nutty.
And next film.
All right, Horrible Bosses. Three friends conspire to murder their awful bosses when they realize they are standing in the way of their happiness. This is starring Jennifer Aniston, Colin Farrell, Jason Bateman, Jamie Foxx, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day.
Charlie Day!
It's about time Sudeikis makes the move from SNL into something.
Anderson!
Now,
Charlie Day!
I know, I'm very excited about Charlie Day. He made my list of top five up-and-comer actors that we just mentioned. Thank you for that setup, Ms. Moves. However, is this going to be a comedy?
Know.
Good job.
Is this going to be a comedy?
I'm assuming
probably
that
with
it is.
Charlie Day.
This is from director Seth Gordon, who did Four Christmases, and is also doing and or completed Freakonomics.
That's a movie?
Yes.
Wow.
You're a movie.
It's a book. That doesn't seem easily translatable into a movie.
What is it about? Is it about a
it explains,
a
actually,
it's
been on my list to,
on
I'm actually going to read it next. It explains a lot of why.
You haven't read it yet.
No, but Teresa Strasser has mentioned it so many times on the air that I feel like I've read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And from what she said about it, you can tell it won't translate well to a film.
It seems like a
documentary.
Yes. Yes. Precisely. It's like it would read better.
What's it about? Give me the gist.
I don't know exactly what it's about.
I thought you'd feel like you've read it because you've heard so much about it from Teresa.
There's lots of fun facts in it about why the world is the way it is.
That's great. Right?
Society.
And on the cover,
American
it is,
society, Anderson.
It's an apple, but it's sliced open, and inside is an orange.
Yeah, dude.
Wow. It's like, don't read a fruit by its skin.
I just finished reading The Tipping Point. All right, I'm working my way up to that one.
I would like a. I Hate My Boss. Is that what it's called?
Horrible Bosses.
What? Horrible Bosses?
Horrible Bosses.
This would be great if it was like a serious drama, crime thriller where they actually, because I have a lot of hatred from bosses that I've had and have now, and I would like to see, you know, live vicariously through characters who actually torture the boss, much like Swimming with Sharks. I like that one. That arouses me. I like
that
it so much.
That was a good one.
Charlie Day's involvement intrigues me, and...
Wow, look at Brian.
Yeah, I just...
Last time we did this about 4 years ago when we were talking about up-and-coming actors, I said Charlie Day, and you said Charlie who?
I did not.
Charlie what?
Is that true?
Yeah, you had no idea what
I just watched two episodes of Philadelphia before I came
over. There's another movie coming out with Charlie Day and Jason Sudeikis. It's a romantic comedy called Going the Distance.
Called How Horrible Bosses?
It's called Going the Distance.
How dare you?
Yeah. Well, there's already a trailer for this movie and everything, so...
Red light, green light with Miss Logan.
why are you saying how dare you, Miss?
Because it's on my list. No, I'm just joking.
Wow,
it's already made in the can. Not.
I green light Logan's film, and I red light yours, Miss Movies.
So Horrible Bosses. I thought you were kind of interested.
No, I green.
In
I got a green. Green.
Yeah, green light, green light.
All right.
Sudeikis and Day. How do you say no to that?
Yeah.
Sudeikis, I love his bit. Not to go back to SNL since we're finally through that and that horror that was that episode last week or 2 weeks ago. But Sudeikis, when he went, "What's up with that? What's up with that?" I said, "Ooh wee!" You know the skit that I'm talking about.
I'm
That's my favorite thing. Is when he comes out and Sudeikis is dressed in his '80s apparel with a fro and he's doing his dance. No lines. He's just doing his dance with his big gold chains. Yeah. Hilarious. Love it.
It works.
It does. Right. It does. It does.
Next movie. All.
Sorry.
Before next movie. Talking.
What's up with that?
This Means War. Two lifelong best friends wage an epic battle against one another after they both fall in love with the same woman. Oh my goodness. Starring Reese Witherspoon, Seth Rogen, and Chris Pine. Directed by Mick G.
Oh,
my
Christ.
Friends. That's right.
Yeah.
No.
Mick G will always have a place in my heart for the Charlie's Angels 2 trailer.
Just the trailer.
That was the best thing you ever did.
For the Shake Weight commercial. Thank you.
What about Marshall?
The Offspring videos.
What about Marshall?
We Are Marshall is not a good movie.
It wasn't a terrible
movie. It was okay.
It definitely shows that Mick G is capable of making somewhat of a normal film.
That's about a B-.
It was a straightforward movie is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really have any of his attributes or strength, any of his go-to moves, the slow motion and action and all that stuff. I don't know.
Warner Brothers lot, I see his parking spot, and I always want to take a picture next to it, but I think maybe I'm not allowed to do that.
What are you doing on the Warner Brothers backlog, checking out people's parking spots?
Because my husband works at Warner Brothers, so therefore I can go on the lot.
And she doesn't work.
Does he drift cars over there?
Probably.
What's he do over there?
He drifts cars in the parking lot, obviously. Stuff.
He drifts cars into...
he works in interactive marketing.
Okay. McG's car.
No, I'm gonna have to say no.
Nah, red light for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a rom com.
It's a reach.
And the storyline couldn't be any more
cliche
and done and beaten. What? No, I saw her first. I just watched Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
What?
The first time in a long time.
When? How?
And
why?
The very first because I Netflixed it because I'm a dork. And the very first episode one. That was the whole storyline. Parker and his best friend, they fall in love with the same girl.
That's funny. You know Netflix from the same era? Oh, sorry. Finish your story.
You know who that girl was?
Parker Posey.
Just because of Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Mila Jovovich.
Oh,
very young and hot Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
And then she was never in Parker Lewis again.
You guys could do top 5 movies of the same story.
She was on True Lies.
Who did it best?
We could do that.
Good.
Since there's only 5.
And it's called Remix.
Continue.
It's called Remix.
You know, from the same era, I also Netflixed In Living Color, season 1 and 2.
Wow.
Yeah, strong.
Was that terrible?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited for it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Parker Lewis does not hold up, I can say that. And I was a little embarrassed that it was on I kept turning it down. I was afraid someone was going to walk by my apartment and hear the gayness that was occurring.
No, it was Parker Lewis, the show that had the synchronized watches?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, or there's Ferris Bueller's on the same time. There's a TV show, Ferris Bueller.
Right, this is without Ferris Bueller, Parker Lewis does not... does not live on.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Ceases to be.
The kid who plays Parker Lewis.
Right.
What's his name?
Who the hell knows?
I thought for sure you would know. Oh. He's in a bunch of schlocky, like very low rated horror films about actual true life killers. Like
Casper Van Diem.
Ted Bundy.
Oh.
And he plays Ted Bundy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's horrible.
Boston Strangler, where Faustino plays the Boston Strangler.
Really?
Yeah.
His name's Corin Nemec.
Yeah, Corin Nemec.
Well, he can't lose.
David Faustino as a Boston Strangler. I need to watch those movies. Horrible movie. They're all made by the same director.
I read Light in the Train of Thought. Let's have another movie.
All right. My next film is called Richard Pryor. Is It Something I Said? A Chronicle of the Life of Comedian Richard Pryor. Starring Marlon Wayans as Richard Pryor. Directed by Bill Condon of Dreamgirls, Kinsey, Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
Gods and Monsters is one of the most overrated films ever.
True, very true. I thought
and Brendan Fraser was up for awards and it was like one of his. This is a lot. It was one of his worst performances ever. And
Ian McKellen,
people loved him. Yeah, Ian McKellen playing his type, which is gay.
Yeah,
yeah. Didn't like the movie.
Speaking of gay, I didn't think Kinsey was that bad. I thought it was a pretty good movie.
It was all right. Yeah. I saw it in the theater, so I felt raped.
I saw it on the video, so I was like, "Oh, this is a nice little discovery."
Yeah, not a bad little discovery.
What about Dreamgirls?
It's fine. Overrated.
Fine.
Overrated.
I don't know, man. Marlon Wayans, that seems blasphemy. It seems like they should get an unknown, somebody who actually looks like
him.
They figure they are going with more of an unknown.
What? Marlon Wayans?
They didn't want to go with like Jamie Foxx or something like that.
That's an obvious choice. Jamie Foxx supposed to play Tyson, right?
That's is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is funny because he used to do him on
Living Color
as a joke, and now they're going to have a drama with him playing. Nah, I'm not going to buy that either.
I don't know.
I will red light that Miss Movies when you do it in 2 years, and I'm going to red light this one right now because Marlon Wayans does not do it for me.
Yeah.
What if he just comes out of the woodwork and you're pleasantly surprised?
Well, then I will say, wow, I should have greenlit
that.
You
know what? I'm going to actually go opposite on this because Marlon Wayans was great in...
White Chicks?
No. How dare you? Requiem for a Dream. Yes, thank you. Requiem for a Dream. He far exceeded my expectations, and I think he could actually do good in a dramatic role. So I'm going to say green.
All right, I'm going to admit something right now. I was thinking it was Keenan Wayans. So, Marlon Wayans. That's how horrible I am.
Good
all the Wayans kind of look the same because they're all related. All the Wayans are related. They're all brothers.
Anderson.
And they all look the same because they got the same parents.
Why don't you just call them brothers and just be done with it?
I'm going to, you know what? Good point, Brian.
I think
Marlon,
you're just trying to dig yourself out of some hole.
Marlon was great in Requiem, and he might be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
I like him in Scary Movie.
So green for you?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead,
Brian, you got me moved over.
All right.
You pulled me out of my racist ways.
Do you have one more movie?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Sure. It's called One Day. Another favorite of yours, a romantic comedy centered on Dexter and Emma, who first meet during their graduation in 1998 and proceed to reunite one day each year for the next 20 years. To me, sounds like When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess.
This movie, I know that this is your segment and you know, you pick movies, but how about I just throw some movies your way and we can just, you know, I won't research some, I'll just kind of throw some movies your way so we don't get these kinds of movies.
So do you have to watch Anne Hathaway, like, age over 20 years with prosthetic makeup and gray hair?
Good point, Brian.
Sure.
That's horrible. Why not? I don't want to see that.
Yeah, terrible.
Her eyebrows get bushier.
Terrible. Take a lap.
Yeah.
Red. What if we just ripped into her? Like, awful idea. Why would
you know
that?
What?
Green!
Give me 20.
Terrible. Take a lap, Miss Movies. How dare you come in here with this filth? It offends me.
Is there a director attached to this project?
Lone Scarefig?
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
He did An Education and Just Like Home.
Speaking about overrated, that Education. Mm-hmm. An Education. I got
an Education in general is not overrated.
Education is overrated.
You used to work in education, didn't you?
Yeah.
I still do, apparently. They want me back.
Yeah, you're rehired, just like Logan.
Yay.
That's fantastic.
At least until Thanksgiving.
Oh, red light. Bark it down. Brian Red.
I'm going to stop reacting to when you're getting fired and hired in this movie because, like, every single
That's
week.
What
it's seriously, it's like it's too much drama. It's kind of like
roller coaster.
Kind of like following Lost, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's like, oh, they're getting off the island. Oh, no, they're not. I can't do this every week.
And with teachers, that's
And it's my life. I can't do it every week.
And it's just playing Wayne.
I guess it's over.
Logan's playing Wayne.
See y'all later.
Too many, you know too many people in the neighborhood, guys.
You know what that means?
Too many people in the neighborhood.
You know what that means?
What? It means we're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's go time. I hear the ween.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. Thank you, Miss Movies, for joining us. Hit or Miss Movies is her website. Follow her on Twitter.
Couldn't you make more if you're unemployed, Miss Movies? Wouldn't that pay more than a high school teacher or an elementary school teacher?
It would not.
Don't be a jerk.
You know, the California's teachers get paid more than any other state. Highest
that's
paid teachers
a
in the
lie.
Union. I'm lying right
you
now,
You need
apparently.
To do your research.
That's what Johnny Ken always said. That's what Johnny Ken said.
I like how Anderson presents his facts, quote unquote, is like so confidently. Right. You know.
Well, all right. What state gets paid the most? She doesn't have facts because mine are correct.
I don't know. North Carolina.
Thank you for joining us on the Film Vault. If you want to be a Film Vault feature artist of the week, much like Ween, email us at thefilmvault@adamcarolla.com. And until next time.
Or email Miss Movies some decent red light, green light films that she could
Don't email
use.
Me.
Twitter, Miss Movies.
How friendly, Miss Movies.
Miss Movies. Okay.
All right, until next week.
Until next time, Anderson.
Doing it for Van Gogh!
There it is. Hope you guys enjoyed the classic episode, Top 5 Badass Bitches. Logan, if we did fire you, you're rehired. Next week, thanks for joining us, by the way, and thank you for downloading in absentia.
And thanks to our Patreon listeners who actually just heard the update of Badass Bitches a few months ago.
So you just got 20 badass bitches.
Might have been some crossover, though, so you might get give or take. Possible. I guess you want to give.
You just got a whole new batch of badass bitches.
A lot of badass bitches swirling around your head, thanks to us two chuckleheads. What Brian was about to say is next week we will be back with a brand new show live on tape in studio doing summer recap 2018.
The big summer recap.
2018
top five
summer
of the summer,
recap.
Or in Anderson's case, 25 of the summer.
I might have six.
So enjoy, and until then,
we do it for Van Gogh again.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.